Well, today is week one of our Called to Care series. You can see in your bulletin a special little handout for that. And I encourage you to read it because each week for the next 4 weeks, it will be brand new. It will talk about the topic of that day and highlight the ministries and the things that we are thinking about. As we also launch into this series, this is a historical time at Excelsior Covenant for us to think about what kind of impact we have outside of our walls, both close by in our community and around the world. And so as we do that, we are going to share in God's word together for 4 weeks with a reading that we speak together. On the screen will be the words to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Also in your pews, if you see one of these bright yellow cards, it is on there too, if that's easier for you to read. Here we read a section where Jesus teaches a parable to his disciples, where Jesus tells us a story to show us that he calls us to care for others. So if you are able, please stand as we read together. I will read the lighter print, you read the bold. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put his sheep on the right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' The righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' And then he will say to those on his left,
'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' And they will also answer,
'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?'
And he will reply, 'And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.' This is the word of our Lord." Please be seated. This is a story that Jesus tells to let us know that God cares. God cares about people who are thirsty. Here's another one. In Genesis chapter 21, we meet this character named Hagar. And Hagar is a woman who through a series of circumstances has a son with her boss's husband, Abraham. And after a little while passes, his wife also has a son, and she no longer wants her maid, her handservant, Hagar, and Hagar's son, Ishmael, around. So Sarah says to Abraham, "You must send her away," and Abraham agrees. So the writer of Genesis says in Genesis 21, "Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba." Here this woman is honored to have a little boy, honored to have a son, and then shortly after that, sent away in disgrace. She's sent away from her home. She no longer has a job, and she really has nowhere to go. She's a single mom in dangerous territory, the desert, and she has only as much as she can carry on her back, a little bit of food and a little bit of water, and there's nowhere to refill that water skin. At some point, Hagar runs out. Maybe a few days pass, and she comes to be weak, and her son needs a drink of water, and she cannot see any way to get him what he needs. Verse 15 says, when the water in the skin was gone, Hagar put the boy under one of the bushes. And then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away because she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And she sat there and began to sob. Of course she did. What would that be like? What would it be like to be so thirsty that you know you are going to die and you have nothing to drink? It would be terrible. It would be awful. But you know what would be worse? To have a child who is thirsty, to look at your son and know that he is going to die if he doesn't get water, and to have nothing to give to him. Moms, you'd give your child your last drop of water, wouldn't you? Dads, you would do anything to get that child what he or she needs, but there is nothing. And even Hagar's tears, if only they could be imbibed. It sounds awful. I don't know what it's like, though. I've never really been thirsty. My children have never really been thirsty. They have more than enough to drink every day. In fact, every day I fill 3 water bottles, 1 for each of us, and I send them to school and off I go. And when we come home, whatever's left in the bottle gets poured out, and I start all over again the next day. It's hard to understand a lack of water, especially because we're water people, we Minnesotans, aren't we? We are surrounded by water, and it's good water. The water in our northern lakes, you can drink right out of the lake. We are the people of 10,000 lakes and 10 million faucets. We don't know what it's like to lack water. When my little girls were small, we had this little bathtub book. It was made of plastic so it could get wet. And when they were taking a bath, we'd read this, water, water everywhere, water near and far. Let's use our hands and feet to count how many kinds there are. And the book went on to list all the sources of water, and it invited us to be amazed at how much water was around us. I'm sure it was written by a Minnesotan. My children would sit in the bathtub, and they would splash, and they would play with toys, and they would pop the bubbles, and then when the water got a little bit cold, we'd add some more just to warm it up. And then when they were all sparkly clean, we'd open up the drain and let it all go down without thinking twice. The average bathtub takes about 70 gallons of water to fill. My kids were little, so maybe we only sent half of that down the drain. Just 35 gallons of waste, because there's water, water everywhere. Do you ever think about how much water you use? The average American uses about 88 gallons of water every day. It takes about 3.5 gallons to flush a toilet. If you have a leaky faucet that drips at 1 drip per second, you can waste 3,000 gallons of water every year. I found some good news about water use this week, and that is that your dishwasher is much more efficient than hand washing your dishes. It uses less water. Water, water everywhere. We know of abundance. We have this great gift of water that comes through however many faucets in our homes, outside our homes, wherever we go, it's always available. We are never thirsty. And I sure wish it was that way for everyone. I wish that the story of Hagar and her lack of water was just one from history, to look back in the books and say that's the way it was thousands of years ago. But Hagar is alive today, alive and unwell, alive and thirsty. Dave already pointed out some of the facts about water scarcity. All over the world, there are Hagars and Ishmaels, moms and dads and kids and grandparents who don't have access to water, or who have access to water that's dirty and it makes them sick. And you know that when you're sick, you need more water to get healthy. or they travel to get their water, or their children travel to get water. They walk an average of 6 kilometers or 3.7 miles a day to get as much water as they can carry to drink and to cook, to wash bodies, to wash clothes, to wash dishes. Perhaps they can carry 5 gallons a day. How long would you last on 5 gallons? I just want to quickly show you what that looks like. So I need, how about Caleb and Bennett, would you mind? Bring yourselves on up. I knew they would. I'm so thankful you're here today. So this is a 5-gallon jug of water. It's called a jerry can, and in a lot of places in the world, this is what people use to go fill and bring water back to the home. If you could grab that one for me. Thanks. So the jerry can, come on. Oh, what do you think is different about your can? Oh, yours is full of about 5 gallons of water. So I asked you guys to come up together, because if you could take that and walk to Dunn Brothers and back today, then you would have a sense of what it is to walk 3.7 miles back and forth. So if when you get back, just let us know, fill that one up, and you can work together to get us water. Okay, Pastor Chris. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. A gallon of water weighs about 8 pounds, so a 5-gallon container is about? Good job, math people. The rest of you are going, well, it just seems heavy, doesn't it? But someone would walk almost 2 miles to go get the water and 2 miles back, and some of those someones are 4, 5, 6 years old, carrying as much water as they can. So then I want you to look at the 5-gallon container. Imagine this is how much water you have today to use. And you flush your toilet one time, so you use about this much of your water. And then maybe you get a couple glasses of water and make a pot of pasta, so you use about this much water. And then you use the dishwasher to wash your dishes, and you've used well more than this amount. Can you imagine what it's like to not have access to water? Hagar is thirsty. Ishmael is thirsty, and there's nothing to drink. What will they do? What's God going to do? Verse 17, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift him up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with Ishmael as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. The Hagar story shows that God intervenes, and there's this beautiful, happy ending. The boy has what he needs. He has enough water as he continues to live in the desert, and he grows up. You see, God hears, and God pays attention to the needs of his people. And sometimes God miraculously provides what is needed. Where did that well come from? God used it to rescue Hagar and Ishmael, to quench their thirst and to give them life. Sometimes God miraculously provides what is needed. And sometimes God invites his people to be part of that miraculous provision. Krista read for us from Exodus 17. Similar story. God's people are wandering in a desert and there isn't any water. They've run out of what they can carry, and they complain to Moses, and Moses goes to God and says, "What am I supposed to do? There's no water. The people are thirsty." And God answers Moses, "Go over there, and I'm going to get there first. But when you get there, take your staff and strike the rock that is there. There's water there, Moses. You just need to be able to get it. And I, God, will provide, but you, Moses, you participate." God provides what's there, but Moses' hands are required to get the water to the people. God cares about people who are thirsty. He made us to need water. He made us so that adult bodies are up to 60% water. He cares about our thirst. He cares about our spiritual thirst. It's no coincidence that Jesus calls himself the living water, but he cares about actual physical thirst. We read together from Matthew 25, and Jesus said, "I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Come and be with me." You saw a need, and you met it. But Jesus also in that text says, to some of you, I'll say this, "I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink." And as he tells the story, you see how perplexed the people are. What do you mean, Jesus? When did we see you thirsty? Of course we would give you a drink, Jesus. I'd give you my water bottle. I'd open it up. You could have my last drop, Jesus. I don't understand what you're talking about. And then he says those words, whatever you do for the least of these, you do or do not do for me. I've invited you to get water to thirsty people. I've given you all the water that you need and then more and more and more. And it matters to me that you help them. It matters to me for their sake and for yours, says Jesus. I want you to go deeper. There's water there in those places. It's just deep. And it needs God's provision and the hands of human beings to get it to the surface. And I believe if you do something to offer a drink to Jesus, then you also move deeper in your own life, that Jesus moves us deeper into our lives. We can't just sit and say, oh, that is so sad that people don't have water. We're invited to seek what is deeper. We are called to care about people who are literally, physically thirsty. And we're called to respond not out of guilt, not supposed to feel bad that we have water, because then we grudgingly care. Then we grudgingly take money out of our wallets and put it there. We're invited to care because out of gratitude. Gratitude makes us say, there is water everywhere, and I know this is a gift. And what I will do to say thank you, Lord, for that water is I will make an effort to provide water for someone else who needs it. This whole series called The Care is about practical responses to human need and God's work in the world, things that you can do every day and in the future. So here's what they are. One, just be aware of your own water use. Not so that you feel guilty, but just that you're aware. And may that awareness move you to care about those that don't have water, to share what you have, and to cover the need for water in prayer. Today you can start. You can start with Covenant World Relief and put aside your change or your dollar bills, like Eric said, or your $100 bills, or your, well, how big do bills go? Can you get a $1,000 bill in a can? You sure can. Maybe this week you have water at home in the morning rather than spending $6 on a coffeeless cooler. Wait till Peter hears that this is our plan for the week. And use that savings to pass it on. We have 4 weeks to save, to set aside, and then take that offering that will go to help people have water. Pray for people who are working for water solutions. Pray for the people that need water. Pray for God to provide what is needed. Do you want to use your strength and your skills more than just your money? Meet my friend Dave today and say, can I go somewhere? Can I dig a hole? Can I pound something? Can I build something? Maybe he'll find a way for you. If you are considering a career, those of you that don't have one yet, college, high school students, junior high students, how about this? Become an engineer that figures out how to make pumps happen effectively. Become a geologist who can find water under deep and heavy rocks. Donate water then locally also. There are a whole bunch of people camped on Hiawatha Avenue, and they need water. Find out how to give them. Keep water in your car for people on the road who are asking for help. They are thirsty. Sometimes God miraculously provides what is needed, and sometimes God asks us to participate in his miraculous provision. We will hope that one day Jesus will say to each of us, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Of course you did. Of course I did, Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we are aware of the abundance of water. We love to be lake people and water people. And we thank you for the clean water that we have. None of us will go thirsty today, dear Lord. So now, Lord, we ask that you would help us be your hands, be the funds, be whatever it takes to provide water for others who truly need it. We know that you care, Lord. You listen and you care, and you are at work already making provision for them. But thank you for the invitation for us to participate. Help us to care, to share, and continue to be in prayer. We love you, Lord. Amen.